Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, if you blink, you might miss the State of the Union address because it seems like it's back on, and then who knows, it might be back off again. That is politics. Now, that is the definition of politics, as one side postures against another. And I was telling a good friend that, as Aristotle says, politics is in everything. Have you ever been in a situation where people say, hey, we don't talk politics? Are you kidding me? Everything that we talk about, whether it be sports, whether it be, a crafts, whether that be, you know, woodworking or pottery or what have you, there's always ways to inject politics. And I don't mean Democrat, Republican. Politics are, you know, ideological differences and divides where people have to figure out how to compromise, how to get along, how to move forward in businesses or what have you. So don't let anybody tell you that, we don't talk politics because they're lying. Everybody talks politics because everybody has to figure out how to compromise and get along. And that is the real talk. That is the real work of politics. So there you go. Anyway, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show, and I, as you know, this is the truth. This is the only show that has the actual solution that will get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. I get frustrated because, you know, as this kind of all started a long, long time ago, what really happened out the gate, some of the things I said had a lack of sensitivity towards those who typically go into epileptic seizures when they hear the word convention. And as soon as some folks of a very specific bend in their paradigm, because they're a part of this large organizational group think, you're marked. That person is a Convention of States supporter, regardless of any evidence that they have. They say, this person used the word convention. And I have to revisit my article on the conventionites, the anti-conventionites, and the un-antied in conventionites, because everybody's got a position. And this is the epitome of politics in itself. Just on the convention itself, there are these politics. For the record, there's been people that have said, G.R., he's a huge advocate. And that is anybody that knows me, that has known me for a long time, like Douglas V. Gibbs, who I've got an interview, and he goes, no, you've never been an advocate for the convention. I mean, I used the word convention because the definition of convention is a methodical process and so forth. But anyway, I digress. The whole point is that what we're asserting is that the states have the authority to coalesce into a body. And I don't mean a body in a physical place like a convention, but they can coalesce in a convention. And when I mean convention, I mean the methodical process, the methodology or process of working together. Right? Because there are engineering conventions, software conventions, hardware engineering conventions that you follow. And so politically, or I should say constitutionally, the states need to follow the convention of the Constitution in literally defining what the federal government should be doing, what has been enumerated to them, and literally telling the federal government that because all of these things, which is the majority of everything they're doing, is unconstitutional, then you need to shut these things down or we will come after you. And there are ways in the Constitution, again, that's why it is a convention, It is a process. It is a methodology. Within the Constitution, they can actually use force. And I don't mean force with guns, but we'll get into that down the road as we actually start having these conversations, hopefully with state legislatures within the next 2 years. I just want you to know that this is the only show, and you won't hear about it. Well, you may hear about this. I may be on another show talking about this. It would be great. You know what? Why don't you do this? Why don't you call up every show host you listen to and say, hey, what do you know about Republic Review? And get them to start talking. And then when they actually, you know, if they've already formed an opinion, go, well, how come you don't have G.R. Mobley come on so that he can talk to you about that? So you can flush him out, you know, and force me into the corner. The last thing they want to do is let that happen, because I won't get into the corner. Nine times out of 10, they find themselves into their own corner. Anywho, it's just like, you know, the first time a person paints the deck, right? They paint themselves into a corner. Anywho, the number to call in is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK. That's our Tuesday line number, 215, even though it's Wednesday or maybe this is the weekend and we're doing a replay, and it's still the same number, 215-867-8255 or Top Talk. I'll do the real quick proverbial groveling. I didn't get a chance to go through the bounty for the cod fisheries as well as I wanted to. But if you want to help, you want to get involved, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you want to donate, go to GoFundMe and look up our campaign, Reclaiming the Republic, or you can go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. The link is right there. A couple of other ways, I still only really know of the one, join the constitutionclub.ning.com. Get involved with Keith over there and start helping out with the emails. I believe the emails, the script is ready to fly and it's going. I'm hoping to get Keith on, and because I've been telling him we need to have a telecon. He's a busy guy, and so we hope to have one so that we can talk about how it's going and what he needs, and then maybe we can all respond, or you guys can get engaged or what have you. Anywho, I did check the news. There is no sign that the federal government is going to disband its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers, regardless of how often I may message President Trump regarding using the EPA and all of these unconstitutional powers that they are exercising and literally having him write EOs in disbanding them and recognizing that there's no enumeration in the Constitution for them to do this. And therefore, they are violating the Constitution by exercising this power, and he just wipes it off the federal charts. I would love to see that. Now, the next president can come along and do that. That's why the states have to step in. The states have to absolutely say, you cannot do that. That's why the states really need to coalesce. With the collective power of the states, they have the authority over this Constitution. And they don't need to apply to Congress. It's inherent in the contract itself. They have the authority and all the power necessary to actually force their will upon Congress. So if you've been focused on the federal government for a long time, then your focus has been wrong. And I'm here to tell you that the only focus needs to be on your state legislators and getting them to stand up against federal tyranny. That's why, you know, we constantly get caught up in talking about the distractions, you know, what's going on in Congress and so forth. What's really going on in your states is far more important. Focus on what is going on in your states. So let me repeat my message to President Donald J. Trump. He needs to literally do this. He needs to actually write an EO that, you know, acknowledges that the EPA is an unconstitutional violation, that they're wielding unconstitutional laws upon the American people. And we're going to get into this because the court is continually exercising unconstitutional decisions because they have no jurisdiction over these things, such as abortion, and that's in the news today. But bottom line, if he actually puts one EO out and literally says, oh, we're shutting the EPA down as soon as we get everything back to normalcy, when people come back to work, everybody will get their 6 months of pay, you know, and we're going to be shutting these doors down, and we're going to be literally decommissioning all of these buildings, facilities, and everything else. So the budget is stopped. All the regulations are gone. We're wiping those things off of the registry. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at what the next agency is. And I'm telling you, the Democrats will, they'll do everything to, they'll kill themselves in a stampede trying to get over to the White House in trying to get him to, you know, hey, how much money do you need for the wall? Because we're going to give it to you. They will give him all the money he wants because they will not want to see him dismantle the unconstitutional Leviathan. I hope somebody catches this, sends this little soundbite to President Trump, because he does have the power to faithfully executing the laws of the land. He can determine and recognize the fact that these things are unconstitutional. The Congress has no jurisdiction, nor does the Supreme Court have jurisdiction over these matters. Clearly, and I can give him, and you can give him, out of the ratification base, because we've cited it here several times, that if it's not an enumerated power, the federal government has no jurisdiction over those things. That the states have all the pleasures and jurisdictions left in their, you know, control. And so I would love to see him do this. So let's get this ball rolling while we have a crisis that we can take advantage of. Let's use the motto of Emmanuel in literally ramming that right back down their throat. I just realized that music means that I am out of time. So we're going to go into a quick break. So please stay tuned, and we will be right back after a couple promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. And so, as I assert, they will come over with more than enough money. They will probably even have an open budget, and they'll probably even be willing to let him deport the criminals and those types of things. They will be more than accommodating when he starts taking away the bureaucracy of evil that the communists have put into the federal government unconstitutionally to basically rain tyranny upon us, the citizens of this great republic. And so, as it's been reported, I mean, even today, the Democratic leaders have continued to dig their heels in. They do not want to make a deal with President Trump to end the government shutdown. And so that especially means if there is going to be, but bottom line, the mantra is open the government, then we'll negotiate. But it seems like there's some cracks in this Democratic resistance that some of the leadership, I should say some of the minions underneath the leadership, are starting to actually share their opinions. And they're basically stating that Pelosi and Schumer are not really, you know, doing the due diligence. And they're actually starting to say, hey, you know, they're kind of separating themselves from these leaders because of their hardcore stance. And so with regards to this whole process, I believe that we're starting to see a light through the crack in their wall of resistance. But I'm telling you, if Trump wants to actually see, you know, would just, and as a matter of fact, he ought to have all the cameras and record all of it so that as soon as Schumer and Pelosi hear, catch wind of the fact that the EPA was just shut down by President Trump, that when the government is reopened, once they finally come to an agreement of the kind of wall, you know, and the kind of barriers and the deportation, I mean, he should start getting really elaborate, you know, that as soon as they see this, they're going to actually just, who knows, we actually might films, you know, some unfortunate heart attacks and those types of things, because I believe it would be a huge reaction. It'd be a huge hit. It's like a kick in the groin for the Democrats when they realize that they're going to lose some of their pet projects in taking away our property and our rights, like our rights to water and so forth, because the EPA has been behind those types of things, along with the Agenda 2020. They dovetail very tightly together. With regards to this petition on the White House that I have a link to, this freshman representative, Ilhan Omar, who's the Democrat from Minnesota, who has been involved in fraud in marrying her brother and then marrying somebody else to get them to come into America. Apparently, she overnight deleted a tweet after the Covington Catholic students anew, after facing a social media backlash for her comments. Her tweet had been posted well after the initial round of misreporting on the students, widely viewed in the confrontation with a Native American. And so I know this is really big news, but, you know, apparently, you know, she got out there and made a tweet, and then apparently people are watching this behavior, and I'm telling you that, you know, they don't want to be called out for actually being on the wrong side. But here she was deleting her tweet when she realized that she was on the wrong side, or at least bought into the wrong narrative. What I want to see is I want to see you go to the White House and actually sign the petition to have the DOJ and possibly the FEC go after her and charge her. And let's watch the perp walk as, you know, we actually hold to the rule of law and hold people accountable to the laws of the land. You know, I don't believe polygamy, or whatever you call it when a woman has two husbands, is legal in America. And what she did in undermining our, what we'll call our immigration process and system, is it's illegal. You can't do that. And I think that this would be good, worthy news, don't you? Here's some good news too. Yves Cochet, who is the co-founder of the Green Party in France in 1984, he is currently elected as a member of the European Parliament. And he's basically said that benefits for native European families should be removed in order to encourage them to have fewer children so more room can be made for Muslim migrants. And right now in France, the Muslim immigration level, or I should say population level, is about 9%. In other words, 1/10 of the nation. And they're saying we need more. And they've already got no-go zones. I mean, how stupid, how ludicrous is this idiot? Well, he has to be, because he was a co-founder of the Green Party. Let me get into some, if you're not getting the need-to-know news, here's some things that G. Edward Griffin had kind of reported on. And he reported on a commentary by Gary Gilano. And basically, he kind of breaks down this concept of inflation. Are we actually seeing the value of the American dollar going down? And the model that he's using is several years ago, you could buy for about $4, 600 paper napkins in a package for about $4. Today, you know, he's noticed that these things have gone down. Today, in that same manufacturer, same napkin, you're buying 300 for $4. So in other words, have we lost half the value based on the value of that napkin? I don't know. I do know that certain commodities like wood, paper, you know, those types of things, you know, do change in value and price based on supply and demand. But anyway, this person is basically, you know, making this assertion that we're heading towards an economic crash because of the devaluation of the American dollar. He says that the leftists then will take power and implement hard socialism if we actually go through a hard crash. I've been telling you that any type of catastrophic event, whether it is a crash, whether it is something that happens, such as a geopolitical conflict or what have you, I'm telling you, the leftists will do what they can and as fast as they can to discard the Constitution and literally wipe away our liberties and basically say, don't worry, you know, we're good people. You can trust us because we know better than you anyway. So what do you know? And that is their paradigm. I'm going to take a little focus. I know I've got about 3.5 minutes left, but I want to get back into this bounty for cod fisheries. And I did talk, and I mentioned that how Madison has gone after what I call the true shock value when he was addressing the body of Congress, or I should say the representatives in the House, when he was talking about you know, them using the general welfare clause so that they could actually you start providing welfare for others. And he goes on and he says, it is to be, and I want to put this in focus here for you, because the entitlement state has gotten so out of hand that people really believe that this is what should be happening. And what Madison basically argues is the exact opposite of that, that the federal government should be restrained from doing that, from providing for disaster relief or what have you. And he says, it is to be recollected that the terms common defense and general welfare, as here used, are not novel terms first introduced into this Constitution. They are terms familiar in their Constitution and well known to the people of America. They repeatedly found in the old Articles of Confederation, where although they are susceptible as a great latitude as can be given them by the context here, it was never supposed or pretended that they conveyed any such power as is now assigned to them. On the contrary, it was considered as clear and certain that the old Congress was limited to the enumerated powers, and that the enumeration limited and explained the general terms. I asked the gentlemen themselves whether it was supposed or suspected that the old Congress could give away money to the states in bounties to encourage agriculture or for any other purpose they pleased. If such a power had been possessed by that body, it would have been much less impotent or have borne a very different character than from that universally ascribed to it. The novel idea now annexed to these terms and never before entertained by the friends or enemies of the government will have a further consequence which cannot be taken into the view of the gentleman. Their construction would not only give Congress the complete legislative power I have stated, it would do more. It would supersede all the restrictions understood at the present to lie on their power with respect to a judiciary. It would put in the power of Congress to establish courts throughout the United States with cognizance of suits between citizen and citizen and in all cases whatsoever. And that's exactly where we're at, my friends. That is exactly where we're at. We have courts actually entertaining and actually opening their doors to all these different types of lawsuits that they have no jurisdiction to. And so he says, with cognizance of suits between citizen and citizen and in all cases whatsoever, this, sir, seems to be demonstrable. For if the cause in question really authorizes Congress to do whatever they think fit, provided it be for the general welfare. I'm going to stop right there. And when we come back, I'm going to pick this back up because what Madison has to say is truly a poke in the eye in our current government. And the only way we're going to be able to do getting them out of these things they shouldn't be doing is getting the states together for Republic Review. So we'll be right back after this. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So, GR, why is this so important? Because the socialists love the general welfare clause because they like to use this as the portal of expanding government powers and their reach well beyond the Constitution. The war hawks, or I should say maybe the conservative side, like using the necessary and proper, or sometimes they'll like to use the supremacy. But the appeal to the people, oh, we're going to do this for you because we have this general welfare clause that allows us to do these things. We need to understand the true definitions behind these four mystical clauses. Those four mystical clauses are the supremacy clause, the necessary and proper clause, the Commerce Clause, and the General Welfare and Defense Clause. And so this is probably the best slap down that Madison ever did during the debates in Congress that was recorded. And so I just want to continue on so that you get this. And so he says, "For if the clause in question really authorizes Congress to do whatever they think fit, provided it be for the general welfare of which they are to judge, and money can be applied to it, Congress must have power to create and support a judiciary establishment with a jurisdiction extending to all cases favorable in their opinion to the general welfare, in the same manner as they have power to pass laws and apply money, providing in any other way for the general welfare. I shall be reminded, perhaps, that according to the terms of the Constitution, the judicial power is to extend to certain cases only, not all cases." I've been telling you that. The ratification debates tell you that as well. "But this circumstance can have no effect in the argument, it being proposed by the gentleman that the specification of certain objects does not limit the import of the general terms. Talking these terms as an abstract and indefinite grant of power, they compromise all the objects of legislative regulation, as well such as fall under the judiciary article in the Constitution, as those falling immediately under the legislative article. And if the partial enumeration of objects in the legislative article does not, as these gentlemen contend, limit the general power, neither will it be limited by partially enumerating of objects in the judiciary article." Does that make sense? I mean, he says that this becomes a huge broad sweep that will create a huge leviathan of government. And he was absolutely correct. So I ask you, I'm going to take a pause right here, take an aside. What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. They did not have the technology to be able to pull up all of these, any of these articles. All these things were written on paper and they were forgotten. So as men went and moved forward, they weren't reciting and they weren't able to acknowledge and even pull up these types of things. The ratification debates got deliberately buried so people wouldn't understand the limitations that the states understood. And the states failed in keeping those things, those objects of definitions and elucidations on the Constitution in their purview, and making sure that every class that comes into the states as they become state legislators understand these things so that they understand their responsibilities. No, what's happened is they've allowed them to become second-class citizens when they are actually the sovereigns, just like in Lord of the Rings and in the Kingdom of Rohan, when the king actually subjugated himself to Wormtongue and allowed his kingdom to just rot until Gandalf came along and whacked him in the head and broke the spell. Okay, so let's move on. "There are consequences, sir, still more extensive, which as they," this is the real shock value, "which as they follow clearly from the doctrine combated, must either be admitted or the doctrine must be given up. If Congress," oh, this is the real slapping here, "if Congress can apply money indefinitely to the general welfare and are the sole and supreme judges of the general welfare, they may take the care of religion into their own hands. They may establish teachers in every state, county, and parish, and pay them out of the public treasury. They may take into their own hands the education of children, establishing in like manner schools throughout the Union. They may assume the provision for the poor. They may undertake the regulation of roads other than post roads, which is the only constitutional roads that the federal government should be maintaining. And post roads are roads that directly lead from your state to the seat of this national government. In other words, interstates that are going north and south are not post roads. Only those freeways that are actually leading to D.C. If it's going to New York, it's not a post road. From Seattle to New York, that's not a post road. Now, Seattle to Chicago on its way, that could be considered a post road. But you have to understand that the Constitution was very limited. And so I move on. In short, this is Madison speaking. In short, everything from the highest object of state legislation down to the most minute object of police would be thrown under the power of Congress, for every object I have mentioned would admit the application of money and might be called, if Congress pleased, provisions for the general welfare. And so I think that Mr. Livingston at this point really wanted to completely withdraw his even assertion that they do this. He had been completely humiliated. And the gasps, I'm sure, in the halls of this House at that point in time were probably very plainly heard, because in these days, folks, there were people in the balconies, lots of women that were listening to what was going on, and they were going, oh no, the government is going to dictate, you know, because at that point in time, many of the states in 1792 had churches that were doing all of this, and it was the church's responsibility. It was not government's responsibility. All what was happening was that the states were taking some taxes and giving it to the church, because the church needed extra money to help develop and nurture the people with better education, so forth and so on. And so that, my friends, right there is the gold. I am telling you that if you start understanding what was said. See, that's where they went wrong in the 1860s and 70s and 80s during the Civil War, Reconstruction, and so forth. Because they didn't have computers, and because they didn't have access to all of these awesome documents that clearly laid out the limitations, they had to make some assumptions. And those assumptions were wrong, just like Mr. Livingston was wrong, because Mr. Livingston had to have been living in a vacuum, not knowing these things. Or he was a very maniacal man with nefarious intent in trying to usurp states' powers and trying to create something that would undermine the U.S. Constitution altogether, in the intent as it was ratified by the states. And so I'm hoping that this actually makes sense to you, and I'm hoping that this actually drives the point home, that you recognize that the federal government is doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. So what does that mean? Well, I'm going to ask you that question, that proverbial question. What is it going to take to get you involved? What is it going to take to have you take the stand, you know, and stand up and actually say, come on, bastards, you want to live forever? Just like Dan Daly said in Cuba, when he actually made the charge as a U.S. Marine, the Lance Corporal Dan Daly literally stated those words and then charged the opposition. And I'm hoping that you see the merit in actually taking the courage, because when you do, usually that wave of courage, it may take a second, it may take a minute, but people get up. They're not going to leave, you know, their compadre or their fellow Marine out to hang. I believe that if we get one state to stand up, many other states will start standing up. So that's why this is really important. And one of the things you can do in taking a stand, as I've been saying, is take a little bit of money, you know, 1 gallon of gas, $2, put it aside. We need that money to inject into the election in 2020. We want you to help support the red states. Do you live in a blue state? Do you live in a state that is sliding into the abyss? The only way we're going to save you and your blue state and your butts is literally by getting the red states to take a stand and literally lasso the republic together and take a stand on the Constitution. I know this makes sense. There's no doubt in my mind that if you stop spending your time, efforts, and money on a lost cause because the Democrats have successfully, or the progressive communists have successfully taken over your state, our last bastion of hope is in these dark red states. That's why I'm hoping that Wyoming, South Dakota, even Arkansas, Utah, Idaho, these dark red states, we actually inject and get more people into the state legislation to actually take a stand and demand that the Constitution be audited and that the state start doing that itself. I think that there's emergency measures that need to be done because we're way too close to sliding into that abyss. More and more people are starting to prophesy that, and we're going to get into false prophets in the next segment. So you're going to want to hear this. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so this is where time really flies fast in the last segment. I do want to let you know, because the Need to Know News stated that 17 murders, just so you know, 17 murders were recorded in Tijuana over a 28-hour period. Now, it sounds like Chicago, right? However, most of them are involving low-level dealers, lookouts, customers, and enforcers in the illegal drug trade. The bloodshed, just like Chicago, right? The bloodshed is generally related to turf wars involving cartels in Tijuana. And I'm going to guess that because of the ramp-up, I mean, I think over the course of the past month, just for the month alone, there has been like 100 and some odd murders in Tijuana, just the little town of Tijuana. And so if you don't understand what is coming up in these, because what's in Tijuana, remember that election caravan, they're still trapped there. And so I'm guessing turf wars and people aren't assimilating, and interesting. It's these are the byproducts of these elements that are coming up. I didn't even mention this, but one of the leaders in this new caravan that's coming up has been convicted for rape. I believe it was rape of a 15-year-old girl. I think it was his cousin, niece, or something like that. And these guys are bad. These are really bad players. They're evil people. So let's get into my favorite, Cortez the Murderer the Second, or Oso the Communist. Alexandria Oso the Communist has predicted that the world is going to end just like Grand Funk did in that rock and roll song I played yesterday. And she says it's going to end in 12 years and that the UN says we've got 12 years to fix it. She slammed Republicans for being out of touch, and then she made a whole bunch of gaffes in her prediction. The UN has claimed in 1989 the entire nations would be wiped off the face of the earth if global warming were not reversed by the year 2000, okay? So the UN is a hub for propaganda to promote all of these types of things, but this is what this is how I see this. It doesn't really matter, you know, whether you and I believe this or not. Oso Communist says it, and there are too many people that are beginning to believe her and the mantra because the propaganda has been there. She's clinging to it. She's using demagoguery and trying to rise in her presence of political leadership. This is very dangerous. So what she's basically doing is she's taking the front stage, just like Al Gore, and becoming a false prophet. Now, I know that I come across as a prophet in basically stating that we have about 2 to 5 years before, and actually it's 1 to 4 years, 1 to 5 years, because it was 2 to 6, 1 to 5 years to step in and be in the process of saving this Constitution before all these idiots coming out of the indoctrination centers are in the electoral process and too many good patriots die off from whatever problems that ail old people, because that seems to be the real reason why our ranks are falling, is because we're dying off. And so I may come off as a pontificating or prophet, you know, a prophesying, but I am telling you that the empirical data is leaning towards this. Everybody, I don't think anybody can refute this. Everybody I talk to, I just talked to Sheriff Mack the other day. He completely agrees with me that we don't have a lot of time, that in the 2022-2024 election, we will be overwhelmed by so many stupid, useful idiots that will throw us into communism that we're not, our heads are going to spin. And that's because of the success of the education system. I used to tell people this 10, 12 years ago, actually back when Jay Leno just took over the late night show, or the late show, or whatever that was, from Johnny Carson. I think it was the late show. Anyway, he used to have the man on the street, and they'd talk to people, and it would always prove out that the Americans were poorly educated and idiots regarding geopolitics and so forth. I am here to tell you that when these people, these communists, are getting out there using fear-mongering and demagoguery to prophesy the end of the world, what I think needs to happen and what I would like to see is state legislators pass laws that make it a crime to prophesy like this. And then if their predictions do not come to pass, in other words, let's say in 12 years, let's say a lot of states pass these laws, and in 12 years, Oso the communist is proven wrong that the world doesn't come to an end, then these states can actually go after her and charge her for using fear-mongering, because as far as I'm concerned, politicians have no business using fear-mongering. We got to make it a crime. It's if you're going to be a leader and you're going to be in the limelight, the way I see this is you have to be responsible and accountable for the things you say. And those who don't believe in liberty, those who believe that they can just get away with anything and everything, the ends justify the means, my friends. You have to keep this perspective that they don't care what they say as long as they get you to believe in them. And that in lies the rub. I'm here to tell you that when we're moving forward, we really do need to hold these people accountable. If you understand the three elements of liberty, which is your free agency, responsibility, and accountability, Only when we no longer hold people accountable, or no longer when people are acting responsible, are we living in times of liberty. We have literally people making it up as they go along, and we cannot have that. If we're in a nation of rule of law, then we need to hold people accountable. And so I think it's important that if you are a politician and you actually have the ability to create laws as a sovereign, and all of a sudden, you know, you use these fulcrums that are false fulcrums, false narratives that are lies and deception, there has to be accountability. I truly believe the state legislators have a great opportunity and a great responsibility in coming after the national government and those in the national seat to pass laws and say, if you're in the national seat where you actually use hyperbole and you use false narratives to create laws, and then all of a sudden, like Al Gore should be in prison for the lies and deception that he has literally propagated throughout the school system. Every child, I don't know how many years that they've played that false narrative of his stupid movies and his stupid comments. And we allow him to walk around and he's like a rock star. Are you kidding me? Folks, what's it going to take? Seriously, what is it going to take for us to actually start holding people accountable and for us to literally start moving forward on the principles of liberty once again, instead of being shackled into subjugation and slavery to the state? I almost said I'm at a loss of words, and I know that's not true, and anybody that knows me knows that's not true. But I have a hard time dealing with the frustration and recognizing the apathy. Get over it, folks. There is an opportunity. You may have been convinced that there's nothing we can do. It's not too late. We actually have the time. We actually have the opportunities literally right in front of us to seize, carpe diem, seize the day, that we may be able to rise again and save liberty for our posterity's sake. I believe that the people of today have the same qualities and character of those great men and women who actually forged this nation forward. All we have to do is take a stand and unite, just like they did. You know, for the longest time, they were living in comfort and they were being subjected to oppression. And, fortunately for them, they were able to recognize and stand up a lot quicker than what we're doing today. We are the frog in the pot, and the pot is boiling. We need to stop this. We need to move forward, not backwards. And that's where the Democrats and the secular progressives want to take us. They want to take us backwards into slavery. We have purged these lands, America. We have purged this nation of slavery at the great cost of a lot of good men. And so I'm here to tell you that we have the opportunity. Let me just move forward with the last parting comments that I have. I do believe that there are some lunacy going on. I know that there's people that are, it just recently that New York just announced that they've arrested some guys that were supposedly going to have a terror plot against Muslims in New York. You know, why are these idiots doing this? You know, all people have to do to get the Islamists to behave badly, all you got to do is just say a few things that will incite them. And there are things that you know that will incite them. Start challenging their faith. Start challenging their claims and assertions. If you start doing that, I'm telling you, they're going to start coming at, they're going to be just like the Democrats when the EPA gets shut down. They're going to come after you with foam in their mouth. So why would you want to even plan? The best thing you can do is call them out by literally using your freedom of speech and freedom of expression that we all embrace in this nation. And those things we cannot let go. We have to cling on to these things, my friends, and we have to use them as well as the Constitution. The Constitution is our weapon and our shield, and we will vanquish every foe. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic, and God knows I need your help, and I'm pleading, please take a stand and recognize what it's going to take and make it today, and we'll be back tomorrow. God bless. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.